Greetings in the Lord. Oh, we just bless the Lord's holy name today. Thank you, Lord. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem. Chapter 48. James, the son of Alphaeus, the new mind. Scriptures. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 10, verses 2 to 7. Did then that which is good become death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might be shown to be sin, by working death to me through that which is good, that through the commandment sin might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I know not. For not what I would, that do I practice. But what I hate, that I do. But if what I would not, that I do, I consent unto the law that it is good. So now it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to do that which is good is not. For the good which I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I practice. But if what I would not, that I do, it is no more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me. I find then the law, that to me who would do good, evil is present. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I, of myself, with the mind, indeed, serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Romans 7, verses 13 to 25, American Standard Version. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are in the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 3 to 14. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, and gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Revelation 16, verses 12 to 16. End scripture. Vision. From the place wherein I was held and supported, I could see I am that I am upon the throne with Jesus at his right hand by looking to the left. Jesus wore the garments of the high priest with the ephod. As I turned my head to the right and looked down, I could see the earth. Brackets and a footnote. This next part I am told to leave out. Now continuing. I saw then an angel, holy seraphim, guardian of the glory of the Lord, take a coal off of the altar with tongs and cast it into the earth. The coal of fire rolled as a ball of fire across the surface of the earth and across the dust in the seas. As it rolled, my heart trembled in fear, and I cried unto the Lord concerning the fire of this coal. Lord, would you save any flesh alive? My heart wondered at the extent of this fire, for it seemed as though it would destroy all flesh in the earth. I cried unto the Lord that this was more than I could bear to see. But then, while beholding this on the earth, the angel which was with me bid me to see, and I looked, and I saw the army of the Lord. This which shall be, marching forward upon the earth, as though they were but the size of a man's hand. Before them was a massive billowing of fire. Behind them, a flame that kindled and burned. But what I noticed encouraged me greatly, for I saw that under the feet of this army flowed forth rivers of living waters. These waters flowed unabated over the parched earth, flowing with a continued velocity to soften and heal the earth, and the places there the fire had burnt were covered after by this living water that flowed as though it were a spring of water unlimited out from under the feet of the army of the Lord. My tears were turned to tears of joy as I saw the answer of the Lord in healing and restoring all creation outside the curse of the fall. And vision. James, the son of Alphaeus, was also known as James Cleopas, who was the husband of Mary, the sister of the Virgin Mary, who was the mother of Jesus. This was the same Mary who joined her husband at the foot of the cross during his death, beholding firsthand the shedding of his blood and the atonement accomplished to bring in time all men into a new creation. Now there stood at the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. John chapter 19, verse 25. The night before the crucifixion of Jesus, he was presented in the Garden of Gethsemane, beholding the Passion of the Christ. After the resurrection, he had a personal interview with the risen Lord. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, 1 Corinthians 15:7. He was also one of the two disciples out of the original 12 who walked with the resurrected Lord on the road to Emmaus. In my personal studies, James is represented in the foundation of the New Jerusalem as the Christopharsus stone, and that he converted as well from being a supplanter to one who had a new mind. This denotes coming into the mind of the Spirit, overcoming the mind of the flesh. James' name meant that supplants, undermines, a heel. But his last name, Cleopas, meant the whole glory, or if you will, the glory of the new mind. As James beheld Jesus suffering upon the cross, he beheld the death of the carnal mind and the power of the mind of the Spirit in obeying the command of the Father to whatever measure one is called to. His life thereafter was set in walking in the mind of the Spirit. This foundation layer of James the Less, one of low stature, is to be worked in a slowness of time in the lives of they that overcome by a life lived, learning to base the experience of life to a continued growth in learning to think with the mind of the Lord. This is very important. There is in us the need to know that we must abandon the carnal mind, the mind that protects itself in the life of this world, and to take on the mind of Christ, the mind that walks, talks, and speaks according to the Spirit of the Lord. As one learns to overcome all things day by day through daily trials and testings, they will also learn to discern the carnal mind from the spiritual mind. For the overcomer has this ability to know the difference of minds. This is a very important thing to learn. One cannot overcome every area of this life, of our life in this present world, unless they learn how to walk in the mind of Christ. This is not a word of faith doctrine, where you glibly believe for something, and therefore you have it. This is the practical outworking of the nature of the Lord in our very thinking, something that is tangible and evident, even though it comes by faith. The mind of Christ in the earth is extremely rare to find, and even harder to keep. But it happens as one grows up into the Lord. The mind of learning to think as Jesus thought is the goal of daily overcoming. So then, James Cleopas represents overcoming the carnal mind and replacing it with the mind of Christ. I see in Scripture four areas that are the life of a believer. Depending upon your faith, these areas need to be overcome and submitted to, respective of the calling of the Lord to put off the old man and his deeds. And the scripture from Ephesians 4, verses 21 to 24, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I see that we have more than a dual nature. We actually have four parts in us that need to be seen for what they are. Anyone who's desiring all that the Lord has for their lives will in time confront all four of these areas in themselves. This is a true working of the Spirit of the Lord, and it gives us all we need to overcome the carnality we bear in our natural thinking and the impetus needed to overcome that carnality with the actual thought structure of the mind of Christ. Overcoming is not just conquering sinful tendencies, the world, the devil, or the mind of carnality. Overcoming is also held in equal balance by taking on the mind of the Lord. Just as the nature of the beast in our flesh needs to be conquered, so the overcomer needs to overcome and take on the nature of the Lord in every respect. Just as the overcomer learns to conquer the mark of the beast, 666, in the thoughts and works of iniquity in their lives, so the overcomer also learns to take on the inscribed name of the Father into their thoughts, replacing bestial thoughts with godly thoughts. Overcoming, therefore, works in these two realms. You have read of the Mount of Olives, wherein I taught about the coming of Jesus, how his heel touches first that mount at his return. I have said that the Mount of Olives, at the mount, is the very life of they that overcome, that it is their duality and their spiritual life that is cleaved apart by his coming. But now I wish to add to this a bit more. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those armies, those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. and ye shall flee into the valley of the mountains. For the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. Note this well, dear reader. The mount does not just split in two, but after the split, the halves move north and south. We are touching on 4 points here, which encompass the entire nature of an overcomer. For these four things will endear themselves to you as the mainstay of your faith. You will admit your need for the Lord to keep you. Then you will at the same time learn to walk in obedience as a verbal action to see your faith practically made whole. Here are the four things in the life of a believer and in the life of an overcomer. They are worked out day by day. Number one, the mind of Christ. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Number 2. The carnal mind. The unspiritual man rejects the things of the Spirit of God and cannot attain to the knowledge of them because they are spiritually judged. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, Weymouth New Testament. Because for the mind to be given up to earthly things means death, but for it to be given up to spiritual things means life and peace. Abandonment to earthly things is a state of enmity to God. Such a mind does not submit to God's law, and a deed cannot do so. And those who have hearts are absorbed in earthly things cannot please God. Romans 8, verses 68, Weymouth New Testament. The third of the four things which are in the life of the believer, of the overcomer. Three, we have a heart that is deceitful above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 to 14. And the fourth thing, number four, we have the power of choice, yielding to whomever we choose to obey. Also ye, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to the sin, and living to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not then the sin reign in your mortal body to obey it in its desires. neither present ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness to the sin, but present yourselves to God as living out of the dead, and your members instruments of righteousness to God. For sin over you shall not have lordship, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Let it not be. Have ye not known that to whom ye yield yourselves servants for obedience, servants ye are to him to whom ye obey, whether of sin to death, or of obedience to righteousness? And thanks to God, ye were servants of the sin, and ye were obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were delivered up. And having been freed from the sin, you became servants to the righteousness. Romans 6, verses 11 to 18, Young's Literal Translation. Amazing that this duality seems to be outdone by flesh rather than spirit. Have you ever known a time where the flesh does not rule and you wonder where your new created nature actually resides? You look in the mirror and you see that there is nothing of the new nature present. It all seems to be that which is carnal, that which is at enmity against God and which you hate. This is where faith comes in. When James Cleopas walked with the risen Lord on the road to Emmaus after Jesus' resurrection, he did not know it was Jesus until they got to the end of the road. Why? Because the same clouding of not knowing where the life of the new nature is was present in his mind at the time. He practically shared the entire story of Christ's passion with Christ himself, not knowing that it was actually Jesus whom he spoke with. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, saying unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted in that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. and they drew nigh to the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed, and brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Luke 24, verses 13 to 31. He was hidden from their eyes. There is the crux of this writing, that we are held back from beholding the fullness of our risen Lord because of the nature of flesh we bear. To deny you have a flesh nature, this annuls any further work of overcoming. To say you have one sets you into the daily trial of scourging and testing to see this carnality overcome. If you are aware of it or not, it is still a fact that the mystery of iniquity is going to work in your flesh until he appears, or rather, until he makes himself known to you in you. This is an all-out conflict of the righteous confessor versus the ragings of the bestial nature, all happening within those 4 points above, and all happening in the faith of the overcomer. Will there be an end? Most certainly, for the end will be when the Lord himself comes, both by appearing in you in a holy myriad of himself, and by his actual appearing in his glorified, raised body. That body, which is alive now and remains, that body which stands at the right hand of the Father. When he comes, your duality will be over, and point one above will be all that remains. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.